Bethany, and he was coming down the road, and Martha went out to meet him. And in verse 21, we read, "Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." In other words, Lord, why didn't you come? "But I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Now, she associated the resurrection as an event, but our Lord Jesus corrects her thinking, because we read in the next verse, "Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" She did not realize who the Lord Jesus Christ was. I doubt if any of the apostles really realized who this person was. Now, this is the resurrection, the power of the resurrection stated by our Lord Jesus Christ himself. I am, and he uses his divine title, his divine name, the great I am, the one who lives in the eternal present, the one who is the greatest fact of the universe, I am. And he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And we will explore that a little bit later. But down farther in the chapter, Mary comes to see the Lord Jesus, and she has the same reproach as Martha. Why didn't you come? And she wept, and we read there, and the Lord asked them, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Now, he was not weeping for Mary and Martha, because he knew that in a few short moments, their weeping would turn to joy. He was omniscient. After all, he knew what he was going to do. But I think that he was weeping for the funerals that he would not be pleased to raise the dead back again, our funerals. But he wept nevertheless, and he asked where they had laid him. Now, Martha objected. She said, when they came to the grave, and the stone lay upon the mouth of the grave, Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Our Lord Jesus Christ here states the power of the resurrection. He is the power of the resurrection, and he displays it here on this occasion. And oh, their joy, you know their joy was great. And so we have that power demonstrated in the raising of Lazarus. Now, also, we have the power of the resurrection demonstrated in another way in John chapter 5. We read there, and our Lord Jesus Christ, of course, is the speaker. John chapter 5 and verse 25. We read there, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming. Well, let's read verse 24 first. We must read verse 24, and then we will read verse 25. Verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And then verse 25, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Now our Lord Jesus Christ is the speaker. He spoke with the voice that brought Lazarus back from the dead. Now here he is again speaking. Notice, and he emphasizes the fact that it's his word that he is speaking. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now, when you pass from a state of death unto life, you have experienced the power of the resurrection. God can bring life out of death. And our Lord Jesus Christ said that was true. Now, you and I demonstrate that when we believe on the Lord Jesus, believe that he died on the cross to take away our sins, believe that he did everything that was necessary when he hung on that cross to save our souls from eternal perdition. When we believe that, the power of the Spirit of God goes to work, and indeed, eternal life is given to us, you and me. Now, our souls, and this I submit to you, our souls and our spirits have already experienced the power of resurrection. We have been resurrected out of a state of death. Paul, in writing to the Ephesians, says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." We must consider death as a separation. Physical death is the separation of the soul and the spirit from the body. But spiritual death is the separation of the soul and the spirit and the body from God. We ordinarily associate the power of the resurrection with the body. But the soul and the spirit is also involved, and the moment that we trust Christ as our Savior, the Spirit of God puts the life of Christ within us. And that life indeed causes us to pass from death unto life, and we have eternal life. The soul and the spirit is already saved. Now the Lord Jesus goes on in verse 25, as we read, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God." You notice it's voice, it's his word. He called out, "Lazarus, come forth." And it's a good thing he specified Lazarus. Had he not done so, every person in that graveyard would have come forth. And here he says, "They that hear his voice," and when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, "they that hear shall live." Now, we go on farther. "For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. And he hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. And they shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil, unto the resurrection of damnation." Now we must be careful here not to infer that salvation is a result of our godly lives. But the fact that the two resurrections are differentiated in this fashion, verse 29, "and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life." Now, when do we do good? We do good when we take the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. There were some that came to the Lord Jesus on one occasion, and they said, "Lord, what shall we do that we might work the works of God?" The Lord told them, and this is John chapter 6, the Lord told them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." That is the one, those are the ones who have done good. They accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And then, of course, they that have done evil under the resurrection of damnation. Everybody is going to experience the resurrection. Now we want to get to our last point, the resurrection thwarted. We read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, 2 Thessalonians rather, chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, these words, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." Now you notice there are the positive and the negative here. There will be everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. They're going to be punished. That's positive. But the negative is they shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Now, those that are resurrected, as we read in the 20th chapter of Revelation, they're brought into the presence of God. The unsaved are going to be resurrected, but they're going to be resurrected with their old bodies, that body that feels the effects of sin. They're not going to be resurrected in glorified bodies as the Christian, but they will be forever separated from the presence of the Lord. Where I am, the Lord Jesus says, you cannot come. And they're going to be separated from the glory of his power, the power that could have given them eternal life. They will never know. And when they stand before the judgment bar of God and the great white throne, their judge will have the marks of Calvary in his hands and his feet, and a gaping wound in his side that was made for them so they would not have to stand before that throne. And those who stand before the judgment of the great white throne are going to condemn themselves. They're going to say, in effect, provision was made for me, and I was not inclined to accept it. I rejected it. And they're going to condemn themselves. Now, the power of the resurrection is a wonderful thing, even in our lives now. We live in this resurrected sphere, the Christian does, with our Lord Jesus Christ. But, oh, let's not forget the fact that he is not going to be satisfied until he has us in heaven with himself in our glorified bodies. Our Father, today, we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus for the hope, the joy, and the power that is demonstrated in Easter. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.